My name is Philip, and I go to a small private university in Massachusetts. I'm a country boy from Texas, and the only reason I go into this prestigious school was because of a bunch of scholarships that I really had to fight for. It had always been my dream to go to a school like this, a small historical school that you'd see on some teen movie. I knew I was smart enough to do well, but I didn't realize how difficult the social aspect would be. Every time I met a new person, right away, they would instantly know that I was on scholarship. It was like they could tell that I didn't belong here. All the other students were super rich. Many of them were legacies, and they just saw me as some country bumpkin. It wasn't fair. I got a lot of crap from a lot of people, but the worst always came from my roommate, Kevin. Maybe it was because we lived in the same tiny dorm. Maybe it was because he assumed that his roommate's loser reputation would rub off on him. Maybe he was just a jerk, but whatever the reason, he made my life miserable. He never called me by my name. He called me Phil, or Philly, or Philadelphia, which I hated. He always used my stuff without asking. And the day after I went shopping to stock up on food, he went into the refrigerator and threw out half of my new stuff because I'd gotten it at the dollar store, and he didn't want it to infect the organic food that he'd already bought. With how he treated me, you'd think he'd just want to avoid me as much as possible, but that was not the case. He always invited me to the parties that he went to. At first, I thought he was trying to be a good roommate, but I quickly realized that the only reason he wanted me there was so that he could look better in comparison. I was a prop to him. And depending on the people we were around, he either used me to make jokes about what a loser I was, or to make himself look like a better person for befriending someone so much lower than him. And for most of my first semester, I just put up with it. I wasn't really making a lot of friends, so I didn't go to a lot of parties without Kevin's invitation. I made the most of it, but I knew why I was there. I was there to be laughed at. That all changed, though, when Kevin invited me to a party at the Omega Beta Zeta sorority. It was my first Greek party, and I assumed that it would be epic. When I got there, though, I was surprised by how chill it was. I guess Omega Beta was known as kind of a hippie sorority. New age, free spirit, outdoorsy. And for once, I fit in more than Kevin. Everyone I met asked me questions about my childhood growing up in the desert. They were impressed that I was an Eagle Scout back in high school and that I'd volunteered as a park ranger for a couple of summers. Honestly, it felt great. It felt like my past was finally a benefit instead of the drawback. I ended up really hitting it off with Rebecca, one of the new pledges. She was seriously the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. I couldn't believe that she was interested in me. We had so much in common. And we ended up leaving the sorority house to just walk around in the quad and talk. We ended up spending most of the night together, and it was magical. When I got home, Kevin was already asleep. But in the morning, he demanded to know what happened to me the night before. I told him that I really hit it off with Rebecca, and he got this insanely jealous look in his eyes. "Rebecca?" he asked. "Rebecca Sanders? She'd never get with a loser like you." I didn't know what to say. That was genuinely one of the meanest things anyone had ever told me. So I just shrugged and walked into my bedroom. The next week, I went out with Rebecca twice. Once to a coffee shop just so we can get to know each other better. And then once to an exclusive nightclub that I'd never been able to enter before. We had so much fun. I was really starting to like her. But every time I saw my roommate, he demanded to know everything that I did with her. He was obsessed. I tried to just ignore his questions, but he wouldn't stop. After I got home from our third date to the on-campus museum, Kevin was waiting for me at our kitchen table. There were a few empty bottles in front of him, so I could tell he was at least a little drunk. He demanded to know what I'd been up to, so I told him. He absolutely freaked out. He jumped out of his chair and flipped the table onto its side. The bottles flew everywhere. "What's your problem, man?" I asked. "You are.
Someone like you doesn't deserve Rebecca. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure she realizes that.
What do you mean? He winked at me. You'll see. Now, of course, I told Rebecca everything. She didn't understand it either. She barely even knew Kevin. I assured her that he was all bark, no bite, but she didn't seem convinced. Honestly, I wasn't convinced either. For the next few weeks, I kept seeing Rebecca, but I always looked around to see if Kevin was nearby. Once, I thought I saw him staring at us in the park, but when I ran over to confront him, he was already gone. Whenever I got back to the dorms, he'd always be completely silent around me. Then, one day, everything changed. He knocked on my bedroom door, a big smile on his face, and asked, "So, do you and Rebecca want to join me and my girlfriend tonight? We're having a game night in the dorms, and I want you both to be here." "What?" I asked. Well, for one thing, I had no idea he had a girlfriend. And for another, he was acting so normal. Clearly, he was up to something. He repeated his offer again, and I said, "Sure, let's do it." So, that night, Rebecca and I sat in our dorm living room across from Kevin and this busty blonde named Jessica. Kevin had his arm around Jessica the whole time, but that didn't stop him from staring at Rebecca like a total creep. I asked him what games we were going to play, and he pulled out a single beer bottle. "Spin the bottle," he said. "No," I told him. "Definitely not," Rebecca said. "You better play along," he said, "or I'll get you kicked out of school for attacking me." "What? I never attacked you," I said. Without saying anything, Kevin got out of his chair and walked over to the wall. Then, he slammed his head against the wall, hard. Then he slammed it again. After three times, he walked back to his chair and sat. His nose was swollen, and blood streaked down his forehead.
"Don't you see what you just did to me?"
he asked.
"Our school has a zero-tolerance policy toward violence."
Then he grabbed a lock of his hair and violently ripped it out of his head.
"What the hell?"
Rebecca said. I felt the same way. But Jessica didn't react at all. She wrapped her arm around Kevin and kept staring forward.
"So," Kevin said, "should we start the game now, or do you want to hurt me some more?"
Rebecca pulled out her phone. "I'm calling the police," she said. That was when Jessica finally reacted. She jumped out of her chair and grabbed the phone from Rebecca.
"No cops," she said right in Rebecca's face. "Not until I get paid and get out of here."
"Do you see what you've made me do?"
Kevin screamed at me.
"You take the only woman I could ever love and I'm forced to hire this crap. This is all your fault."
"Love me?" Rebecca shouted. "You don't know anything about me."
"Does that matter?" he said. He punched himself right in the eye and then turned towards Jessica.
"You'll be my witness, right? You'll tell everyone that he beat me up."
She didn't answer.
"Say yes and I'll pay you more."
Jessica dialed 911 on Rebecca's phone.
"Hello," she said. "I'm not going to give you my name, but I've just witnessed an attack."
Then she gave the police my name and dorm number. Then she hung up and set the phone on the table. Kevin gave her a wad of cash and then she left. Kevin just sat there, smiling and waiting for the cops to arrive.
"You won't get away with this," Rebecca told him. "I'm a witness too. I'll tell them what really happened."
"They're not going to believe you," he said. "I'm the victim here. I'm the one with bruises. And besides, my family owns this town."
He looked so sure of himself. 3 minutes later, a policeman arrived. Kevin answered the door and said that he'd just been attacked by an out-of-towner. The policeman started taking down notes. But then he looked over to Rebecca and stopped. "Were you a witness?" he asked.
"Yes, Daddy," she said. "And I'll tell you what really happened."
Kevin tried to interrupt her, but it was too late. The officer was Rebecca's father, so of course he trusted her. In the end, he took Kevin away in handcuffs. Ever since then, I've had the dorm all to myself. It's awesome, especially because Rebecca can visit me anytime she wants.
I went to a small college in New Jersey. It was as far away from my hometown as possible, and that was exactly what I wanted. I expected to just get an apartment near campus, but the college said that it was mandatory for freshmen to stay in dorms. I asked if I could pay extra for a private dorm, but there weren't any available. So, I ended up in a tiny dorm with a roommate named Teresa. Back in high school, I was a very social person, but I ended up having a really bad falling out with all my friends and decided to just focus on myself for a while. Basically, I was one of the mean girls at school, and toward the end of senior year, I realized that I didn't like the kind of person I was becoming. So, when I found out that I had a roommate, I promised myself that no matter what, I would treat her with respect and dignity. Unfortunately, Teresa did not treat me with the same respect. She was absolutely awful. She'd steal my food and say these really passive-aggressive insults to me, as if I was too stupid to know that she was being mean. It took all my strength not to argue with her, but I figured that if I kept treating her nicely, she'd eventually mellow out. That did not happen. One morning, I was about to brush my teeth when I noticed that there were little brown flakes on my toothbrush. I knew right away that Teresa had done something to it. She must have stuck it in the toilet. I felt disgusted. I almost threw up. Of course, when I told Teresa about it, she said that she didn't do anything. She even said that I needed to take better care of my teeth if that's what my toothbrush looked like. After that, I started to notice other little signs throughout the dorm that Teresa was messing with me. My milk tasted funny, as if she'd stuck some kind of chemical in it. My shoes were filled with ants because she hid breadcrumbs inside them. And when I took a shower, my scalp started to burn when I was using my shampoo. I had to rinse it off as quickly as possible because she'd replaced it with bleach or something. Every time I talked with her, I tried to be as nice as possible. I didn't directly accuse her of anything, even though I knew that she was the one making my life miserable. But whenever I said anything, no matter how gently I said it, she acted like I was insane, like I was making everything up. Honestly, it was driving me crazy. I even went to our RA to ask if I could change rooms, and she told me it wasn't possible until the next semester. I was stuck with her. Eventually, I just stopped talking to her completely. I'd answer questions if she asked me something, otherwise I just kept to myself. It was really hard because I didn't have any close friends at college yet. I was still trying to find my place. I didn't have anyone to listen to me vent my anger. It was terrible. And the worst thing about it was that I kept thinking about all the awful things I used to do to my less popular classmates back in high school. I mean, I was never as bad as Teresa, but I was still pretty mean. In a way, I kind of felt that karma was striking back at me or something. I ended up putting a lock on my door and keeping all my personal belongings and my food in my bedroom so that she couldn't mess with anything. It seemed to work because the pranks stopped happening, but that was no way to live. I felt like a prisoner in my own dorm. After about a week of doing this, I finally decided that enough was enough. I stopped hiding everything in my room, and I installed a couple hidden cameras throughout the dorm so I could catch Teresa in the act. I didn't have to wait long. The first night that the cameras were out, I caught Teresa pouring something into my cereal. I couldn't tell what it was, but it must not have been good. That's when a dark idea crossed my mind. After Teresa went to bed, I poured out all the cereal into a bowl and added a bunch of other ingredients to make brownies. The next morning, I surprised Teresa with the whole tray of brownies and told her that it was a thank you gesture for being such a good roommate. She was suspicious at first, but I'm a pretty good actress, so she ended up taking a piece. Together, we sat at the table and I watched her eat the brownie while I drank some orange juice. Once she ate the whole piece, I finally confronted her about everything. I told her that I knew she'd been messing with me, and I was done putting up with her crap. I demanded that she tell me why she hated me so much, and for the first time since we moved in, she was honest with me. She looked me dead in the eyes and asked, "You don't remember me at all, do you?" When I didn't answer, she explained that she actually went to my high school. She was one of the kids I bullied, and she couldn't believe that I never recognized her. She'd been waiting months for me to finally realize that I knew her, but I never did. I couldn't believe it. She even pulled out her phone and showed me photos of her back in high school. Back then, her hair was different and she wore glasses, but otherwise, she looked pretty much the same. "Do you remember me now?" she asked, You made my life miserable back then. I felt terrible for the kind of person I used to be, but I couldn't just lie to her. I told her that I still didn't remember her at all. That was definitely the wrong thing to say, because she jumped out of her chair and dove forward like she was going to strangle me. But as she got closer, she started to choke. I figured I needed to come clean about the brownies. I told her that I knew she was putting something in my cereal, so I poured it all into the brownies that she just ate. Her eyes got really wide, and she kept choking. "What did you put in my cereal?" I asked. "Rat poison," she choked out. Of course, I called 911 right away. She was taken directly to the hospital. It's been 2 weeks and she's still recovering there. I should probably go over and visit, but I doubt that she wants to see me. The best part is that, for now, I have the dorm all to myself.
Looking around at my new apartment, I felt proud of myself. I had worked hard for this, and seeing the fruits of my labor was satisfying. My best friend Anissa looked around the partially furnished living room and clasped her hands together. "You know what this apartment desperately needs? A coffee table," Anissa exclaimed, and I nodded in agreement. I was nearly done furnishing, but a coffee table was exactly what I needed to complete the look of the living room. I was lucky enough to find couches already in the house, and I came with my bed, wardrobe, and even a study desk. A coffee table was something I wanted to indulge in. So the very next morning, I got ready and left for the IKEA store in town. I walked in, and a sales girl helped me find the right coffee table for me. It was neatly cut, round, and had a perfect finish. The day was going extremely well, but there was something, or should I say someone. The entire time I was shopping for furniture, I felt eyes following me. I decided it was probably nothing, and I didn't think too much about it. But I could not shake it off, and when I finally turned around, I saw a man staring at me. He instantly looked away, ducking his head. Intrigued, I took him in. He looked like he worked at IKEA based off of his work uniform. He had thick, dark hair that fell around his face, and he seemed to be shy. Too bad, because if he had approached me, maybe I would have said yes to going out. "Okay, Vanessa, just because this guy is staring at you doesn't mean he's interested," I muttered to myself before walking away, not giving him another glance. I brought the one table back to my new apartment, and I loved how it looked. I moved over to the table, feeling the smooth finish of the furniture. I was happy about my new purchase, and I couldn't wait to buy a vase to decorate it. As I admired my new table, I noticed something. A sticky note was hanging from under the table, and I curiously plucked it out to see what it was. A phone number was hastily written on it, along with the name Steve. I stared at the paper, amused, as I wondered who Steve was. I had a feeling it was the guy at the IKEA store, the same guy who was staring at me. I had no idea how he had managed to stick the note on without anyone noticing, but it was kind of funny and sweet how shy he was. Since I had nothing to do during the weekend, I called him. "Is this Steve?" I asked once he answered the call. "Yeah." His voice was weirdly nice. "Hi, this is Vanessa. You left your phone number on my table, and I guess you wanted me to call you?" I said. The conversation went so well that we met the very next day at a coffee shop. I wanted somewhere that was a bit public, especially since I had no idea who I was meeting. Although we spoke a little on the phone, I knew very little about him. When I walked into the coffee shop, I spotted his mop of dark hair, and I knew it was the same guy that was staring at me at IKEA. I walked up to him and smiled. He smiled back, and I couldn't help but notice his crooked teeth and the hot breath of someone who had smoked an entire pack of cigarettes. I hated the smell of cigarettes. It made my stomach turn. Throughout our meeting, Steve learned so much from me that, despite my telling him to back away, I didn't like it. I was trying to be nice by not telling him that he stinks, but he did. Why did I think meeting him was going to be a good idea? He wasn't my type, but he looked up at me with so much adoration that it felt mean to say no to him. But I did it anyway. "Look, Steve," I said with a sigh. "I'm sure you're a nice guy, but I'm really not interested right now." Steve looked devastated. I couldn't bring myself to care. What I didn't know was that he was a creep. For the next few days, I would see him nearly everywhere. He was outside my apartment once. I always saw him at the coffee shop, so I had to stop going there. Once he walked into my place of work, and I nearly screamed at him to leave. I worked at a 5-star restaurant. I couldn't possibly imagine someone like Steve going there. Yet he soon became a regular. It became too much. I was thinking of getting a restraining order, but Anissa said I couldn't do that if he seemed harmless, and the police wouldn't be bothered with my case. One night after my shift, Steve suddenly appeared before me as I was walking to my apartment. I was startled and nearly fell on my face. It wasn't funny. "What do you want from me?" I asked angrily. He smiled sheepishly and said, "I want you, Vanessa, to love me. Please?" His breath was terrible, a mixture of nicotine and beer. I couldn't stand him, and I felt threatened by him. It was a reflex. I raised my hand and slapped him across the face. He was surprised, and so was I, because I never resorted to physical violence. But I was too done with him to care. "Never approach me again," I warned before walking away. I never heard from Steve again, and it made me wonder why I hadn't resorted to slapping him a long time ago. I didn't feel like I was being followed anymore, and I could finally breathe without the smell of cigarettes and alcohol following me around. I thought Steve had moved on, and I never heard anything about him until one day I got a call from a lawyer saying that I had inherited a large amount of money from somebody who left it all for me. I didn't understand. I knew nobody who would do such a thing, as my parents were already dead, and the last time I checked, Anissa was alive. Plus, she didn't have that large of an amount of money. I asked the lawyer who it was, and he answered, "Haven't you heard? Steve Davidson passed away, and he left all his fortune to you according to his will. He committed suicide, hanged himself, and the thing he left as his final note was his will and a piece of paper with your name repeatedly scribbled on it with broken hearts." I felt sick. I wanted to vomit my lunch. I couldn't help but feel the creepy sensation that I was the cause of his death. I drove him towards it. I felt sickened by the thought and surprised to hear that he left me millions of dollars in money and property. The thought that I could have avoided his death never left me, even after I sought therapy. And although I agreed to inherit every single penny he left me, I always felt a little guilty for spending it. Steve's death forever altered my brain chemistry and life. I embraced Steve's money, dark-haired men, cigarettes, and alcohol with all my heart.
I had been at uni for just about a month. It was a struggle leaving home. I missed my family, my friends, even my old teachers. It was the feeling of comfort that drew me home. But the catalyst was that creature I shared the dorm with. During the first week of uni, I was told that rooms were rather sparse and that I would have to share with someone else. I was then given a key and told to alert the school if there were any issues. But I should be fine as long as I talked to them, so things wouldn't be awkward. My room number was 120, and the door was easy to spot because of the scratch marks and dents that covered it. Before even putting the key into the lock, I heard a large bang come from inside and footsteps dashing towards the door, only to see it fling open, revealing my roommate standing at the doorway. He looked skinny. His eyes were darkened from a lack of sleep, and he was breathing heavily, probably because he had just darted over to the door. But a far more morbid reason struck the back of my mind, one that did not need to be brought into reality. Without saying a word, he pointed towards a bed on the other side of the room, which I could only assume was mine. The side that appeared to be his was covered in dents in the walls, and even his bed looked like it had been smacked around like some dog toy. Hesitantly, I made my way inside. My roommate still not speaking, but rather dashing around the room in excitement at my arrival, or my naivety. I dumped my bags on the bed and then turned around to ask, "Hey man, what's your name?" He instantly stopped running around. He froze in place with his back turned to my face, as he stared at the wall. Hello? Anyone there? I chuckled nervously, but he remained still, while still keeping his eyes locked on the wall in front of him. No, he spoke. He then started bolting around the room again in excitement, jumping up and down on his bed like some kind of child, while a massive grin protruded from his face. That incident alone should have been enough to tell me that I was not safe being in this room. But at the time, I wrote it off as a mishap and unpacked my bags as I set up my side of the room. The next few weeks shared this same ignorance. I would come in at the end of the day, and my roommate would fling the door open and then run around the room like some kind of excited dog. But the second I spoke or tried to ask him something, he would freeze with his back facing me, staring at the wall until the moment passed. All along, I truly believed it to be just some kind of nervousness that meant he couldn't cope with social situations, but after a couple weeks, the nights began to change him. One particular evening left me unable to sleep for the rest of the month, my roommate being the cause. It was around 11 p.m. Both me and my roommate, who I still didn't know the name of, were in our beds. Me on my phone, and my roommate just staring at the ceiling. After about 20 minutes, I fell asleep, only to be awoken by scratching noises on the side of my bed. My eyes snapped open, and for a brief second, I had no clue where I was. The white wall in front of me directed me into reality. I could hear some kind of muffled scratching noise on the other side of my bed, and was about to twist around to see what it was, until I heard breathing. The breathing was low and heavy. I could feel each breath wash over the back of my neck. It was so close. At first, I was too drowsy to realize what was going on, but after a couple of moments, it hit me that something was looking at me from the side of my bed. Fear completely disabled my ability to move, and I was stuck facing the wall, having to simply endure the breathing and scratching taking place behind me. Then came a sly cackle. At this point, I was fully awake, my blood pumping with adrenaline. I was utterly petrified. Whatever was behind me was directly in the way of the door, too, and no doubt my key was beside this person as well. Getting out clearly wasn't an option, so I was left to either endure it or turn around. I laid there for what felt like hours, my mind in a constant state of turmoil. I had no idea what to do. The breathing never stopped either. It stood so perfectly in place that I began to question whether or not it was real, hoping to God it was just a figment of my imagination. And then, a hand suddenly came into my peripherals. Its palms were outstretched and looked ready to grasp me. The nails were long and thin and sharp to the tips. Terror now fully emerged in my body, and fight or flight kicked in. No more flight, I thought. I now turned around, facing towards whatever was waiting there behind me. My roommate's deranged-looking eyes glared back at me. "What the fuck are you doing?" I yelled out, springing myself out of the bed. He leapt back in fright, but swiftly turned to face the other side of the room's wall, standing motionless once again, submerged in the darkness. I jumped out of bed and went to go push him, but the second my hands collided with him, he flung his head around and let out the most powerful screech I had ever heard, with such tremendous volume that I jumped back in shock. His screech had opened his mouth so wide that I was able to see each individual tooth he had in his mouth. They had all been sharpened. I quickly stormed out immediately after that, leaving all my belongings behind. I quickly reported and narrated the whole ordeal with the weird ways that my roommate was to the school, but they simply deemed it as an accident and told me that my roommate was perfectly normal and healthy. Only I knew that the pig suffered some kind of issue known best to him. He was sinister and a complete psycho. I decided to return home and take online classes instead. Nothing was worth returning back to that creepy room. My safety mattered more. Whoever has to share a room with that psycho in the next coming weeks as my replacement, may God help them and keep them safe.